Free Talk Live. You can dial on in toll free. You can join us on the radio waves here on this live Sunday edition of the program. With you in the studio tonight, it's me, Ian.
Me, Johnny Ray.
And me, Mark.
Last night on the show, we started a story about Willie Nelson and the words that of wisdom that he has for Jeff Sessions, who is the attorney general under Donald Trump, an attorney general who has been trying to ramp up the war on drugs, has called into question what the federal government's policy is going to be from here on out, specifically with regard to the war on cannabis, which had been sort of slowly kind of pulling back. They've been pulling away from it, given that there are all these states that have medicinal cannabis. What is it? Over half of them, I believe, have medicinal programs at this point. And now, I believe, 8 states plus D.C. are legal to possess and to smoke cannabis. So, you know, they were supposed to be kind of rolling things back. And then this Sessions guy gets in and he starts talking tough about marijuana again. And Willie Nelson had some words for him. PersonalLiberty.com had the story originally over at Rolling Stone. It was an interview with Rolling Stone. And Nelson had said, so we started this, we never even really got into Nelson's quote because we just, you know, got distracted. Anyway, Sessions would probably realize he's exaggerating when Sessions has claimed that marijuana is, quote, only slightly less awful, unquote, than heroin if he'd actually tried both drugs. 84-year-old country outlaw said, Nelson said this, quote, I wonder if he's tried both of them. I don't think you can really make a statement like that unless you tried it all. So I'd like to suggest to Jeff to try it and then let me know later if he thinks that he's still telling the truth.
Well, I have smoked the marijuana, and yeah. I have taken an oxycodone one time. I had a ruptured eardrum.
Yeah, what was the milligrams on that?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I can tell you, I was pretty messed up.
So maybe it was like a 20 or something.
I don't know. I don't know.
How messed up? Like motor functions were pretty messed up kind of thing? Like, cause
I certainly shouldn't have been. Shouldn't have been driving. Yeah. I was not driving. I'm just saying I should not have been driving. You know, the opium tends, the opiates tend to react that way for me. And I would say that, you know, it's possible to get really, 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 really high, but it.
On the oxy?
On marijuana. So you can be sort of highly affected by it. But yeah. I guess just all the stories I've read as far as heroin goes, heroin's just a much bigger life destroyer than marijuana is.
Here on Mondays on New Hampshire Public Radio, I think they have a weekly tradition of having the governor on, and I just happened to be listening to it the other day, and he said that the consensus was that marijuana was a gateway drug for heroin, and that was just one of many disheartening things that I heard him say.
But yet he said he's going to sign decriminalization.
Yes. That's right.
That's a strange dichotomy to have, right? On one hand, to still have this false belief that marijuana is a gateway drug. The government's own Institute of Medicine study from, I believe it was the year 1999, disproved that claim that they've been, you know, and they still keep claiming it over and over again. I mean, ad infinitum, that it's a gateway. What they found was that if there's any kind of a gateway effect, that it's because of prohibition, because people who go to buy marijuana are having to go through the black market, or, you know, traditionally have gone through the black market for that. And a black market dealer of marijuana is much more likely to have other things for sale. And because they are then in close proximity, easily able to sell and purchase these things, they're more likely to use something like heroin simply because it's close by, simply because it's being offered.
And also there's a general tendency to, in a black market, to go after the very potent, concentrated things that are easier to transport.
And perhaps more profitable. I'm not sure what the profit margins are on heroin, but, you know, if nobody was making money, they wouldn't be doing it, or they wouldn't be selling it.
I was very disheartened to hear Jeff Sessions when that first story first broke about how they were going to start enforcing mandatory minimums, basically prosecuting these drug laws to the fullest extent. And President Trump was supposed to come in and shake things up, but It seems like his whole staff is fighting the battles of the early 90s. Like, nothing's been learned.
Absolutely not. Although, didn't we see a headline about Congress not, I guess, giving the DEA or ONDCP or whoever, one of those anti-drug groups in the government, not funding marijuana or medical marijuana enforcement? Like, I feel like I saw a headline about that, but maybe you've been following it more closely. You're welcome to join us here. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Personally, I'm not concerned about it. I think that, you know, we've finally crossed the threshold on this issue of being able to, you know, we're not turning back. It's not likely that the federal government is going to be able to put this genie back in the bottle, so to speak, where you've got, you know, eight states that have completely legalized cannabis for the most part, with some restrictions, but, you know, taxes and regulation and all that, but legal to possess and smoke it. You've got the dozens of states where it's legal for medicinal. I just don't see it being a fiscal, you know, viable thing for them to do, not only in the, you know, what the public will think about it, but to just be able to go in there with jackbooted thugs and to somehow stop this business, this multi-billion-dollar business or whatever. You know, it's outpaced alcohol in Colorado as far as the tax revenue
yep.
is concerned in just a matter of, what, 3 years or something like that?
A lot of people visiting.
And you know, that's tapered off to some extent now, Mark, because there are other states that they can visit that have cannabis, but it's still doing very, very well.
They've really got the business of marijuana tourism down there in Colorado, it
sure.
seems like.
Oh, yeah, they definitely do. I'm optimistic about this, even with whatever tough talk is coming out of Jeff Sessions. I think that at the very least, cannabis is on a trajectory finally to gain more states that have it in legal status. And the longer they leave their hands off, then the more safe other states are going to feel about making that flip. And so who knows what the next couple of years are going to hold as far as that goes. But let me get back into Willie Nelson here. He is, of course, a longtime marijuana advocate, says personalliberty.com, who has had his share of run-ins with law enforcement officials over his personal drug use. But the singer says his use of cannabis over the years has played part in his longevity, helping him kick habits with more deleterious health effects. He told The Cannabist last year, quote, "It's medicine, and it's already been proven to be medicine. End of story." He said, "I had emphysema and had all kinds of different health problems caused by drinking and smoking, so I decided I wasn't getting high from smoking cigarettes, and I had a pack of Chesterfields, so I took them all out, threw them away, rolled up 20 big fat numbers, stuck them into the Chesterfield pack, and I haven't smoked a cigarette since, and that's been 30, 40 years ago." So that's pretty impressive. And of course, a lot of people have used marijuana to help them with very serious drug habits. We were talking about heroin. It's not an uncommon story for opiate addicts to use what some call the marijuana maintenance program, where they will use cannabis as a way to wean themselves off or quit heroin, essentially. And I think you generally have to wean yourself off that, or you'll have some pretty serious withdrawals. But they'll use marijuana and, you know, the getting high factor from that to supplant getting high off of a much more dangerous chemical, which is heroin. And I know people who've done that. I know people who've had success with stopping an opiate addiction because of marijuana. That's what they credit it to.
Yeah, I've heard the same. You know, it's what they would call it in the drug treatment counselor business is just essentially transferring your addiction to something else.
Right. If you're going to have an addiction, it might as well be something more safe.
Right. I mean, one thing that we can see is that humans, and it's not limited to humans, but humans seem to like to alter their consciousness. There are other animals that like to do it too, but, you know, I mean, if you start with that, then, well, let's try the things that are least harmful, I suppose.
Did you ever see the video of the monkeys stealing people's drinks on the beach in some island nation? I forget where that was, but it's hilarious. 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. More from Willie Nelson here if we get a chance. It's Free Talk Live.
Yeah!
This is Free Talk Live, live Sunday edition of the program. Coming up, we got economics in one lesson as we slowly churn through the chapters of this book. We are on chapter, was it 16? Chapter 16. That's right. And it's about more on price controls. Johnny Ray, Mark, and I have been going through chapter by chapter in this free book that anybody can download online, written by Henry Hazlitt. It's called Economics in One Lesson. So feel free to look for that. We'll talk about that a little bit more.
Third chapter in the same theme.
Yes. Well, there's an overall kind of theme that's just sort of stretches throughout the book. But we'll get into that here in a little bit. Of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733.
So healthcare is in the news. It's all over the place, and it's certainly worth talking about because, well, it's costing so much these days. And the service you get isn't that great, but there is a free market healthcare company that can give you freedom from health insurance. It's healthexcellenceselect.com. They'll give you things like a proactive health assessment daily if you want to get it, no charge 24-hour access to doctors, a medical information card that you can give to EMS, first responders, the emergency room, or whatever medical professional you want to give it to. You can check them out right now, healthexcellenceselect.com. I think you'll like the price. They have single, couples, and family plans, and the family plans as little as $600 a month. So any kind of doctor, too, traditional, integrative, chiropractic, acupuncture, massage. You'll love the service and the price. HealthExcellenceSelect.com. Again, it's HealthExcellenceSelect.com.
All right, let's go. We'll go to your calls and thoughts. Then a little bit more from Willie Nelson. He's got some words of advice for Jeff Sessions. And I pulled up the full interview from Rolling Stone, and there's a couple other kind of fun comments that he has here. We'll get into that. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Let's go to Skype, where we've got Stefan on the line in Ohio on the Live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you tonight?
What's on your mind?
I'd like to discuss gun rights a little bit.
All right.
I've had some libertarians speak to me and say, for example, like owning something like a bomb is aggression. Have you ever heard anything
like that? Well, it
depends
on what kind of bomb we're talking
about. Like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, a nuclear bomb, I think you've got a solid argument that poses an imminent threat to anyone in, you know, a very, you know, large vicinity, whereas a pipe bomb sitting in your garage doesn't.
I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to hold my own here, but I can't go along with that. I don't see the difference between a nuclear bomb and a 12-gauge shotgun.
Seriously?
Yeah, as far as...
You don't see a difference.
There's obviously a difference. I mean, a difference.
And if an accident happens with a 12-gauge shotgun, it, at the very worst, would involve someone dying. Probably not more than a couple someones if they happen to be downrange from it. But if an accident happens with a nuclear device, then we're talking about a significant factor of harm.
That's okay. I agree with that 100%.
But
I don't think that is relevant to whether or not I should be allowed to own a nuclear bomb, because I should be.
You can own a shot. You can have a shotgun and you can shoot somebody with it, and you can know that the person that you shot was an aggressor, right? Like, that's a possibility with a shotgun. Mm-hmm. You can't use a nuclear weapon except in some very, very extreme circumstances, and expect to kill only an aggressor.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's not a defensive weapon.
It's not. It's a weapon of mass destruction.
I would like to say that I would like to take back what I said about how I should be allowed to have one, because I definitely should not be allowed to have a nuclear bomb. But nevertheless, we don't need a government making laws telling me that I can't have a nuclear bomb, because the natural order of the universe doesn't cause a lot of nuclear bombs to be built. It's when you bring states in and they start fighting each other, then these weapons start being propagated.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Johnny Ray. It's the government ongoing conflict around the globe that has escalated to the existence of these weapons, to them being created and distributed in the first place. And I guess the question is, you know, we were just talking about putting the marijuana genie back in the bottle. Well, nuclear weapons exist now. So it's not an easy question to answer. I'm not expecting anyone to have an answer. But if we do get to the point of people wanting to end this, the state, ending the idea of the coercive monopoly that we know of as the state, what happens to the nukes?
Right. It's a tough question because they exist and they can be built. And one may argue that the only reason nukes haven't been used up to this point is because other nations have them.
Because of mutually assured destruction.
Right. So we had a situation where the United States had an atomic weapon and Japan didn't. And they got used. The United States hasn't gone to war that I can think of, like directly with a country in the last 7 decades that has a nuclear weapon. You know, there's some saber rattling going on right now with North Korea.
They're always rattling their sabers.
But there's not an ICBM. They don't have a – they may have a nuclear weapon, but they can't get it from North Korea to here.
There's barely even a get-off-the-launch-pad rocket over in North Korea, apparently, according to a couple of their recent tests.
Yeah, well, you know, again, they've got, I think, 10, and I don't want to see whether all 10 of them fizzle right there on the launch pad. Seems like those are statistics I wouldn't be interested in. So it's not the easiest question to answer because, you know, it's the mutually assured destruction aspect that, you know, kind of perhaps has kept these weapons from being used.
I just know that there's a – I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No, you first.
Okay. I was going to say something that is not terribly illuminating. I think there's an overwhelming, as far as these weapons are concerned, the consensus is that they need to be taken care of. And that will happen because people care too much about them. People will, will sequester them, and they won't be used as long as we're not ruled by a bunch of weird bullies and collectivists.
Well, I tend to agree with you. Go ahead, Stefan.
The reason I bring that up is because when I hear things like that, like, you know, a nuclear weapon is aggression, I think to myself, are they trying to say anything that is designed to harm other people counts as aggression, in which case couldn't a gun technically be...
No, that's not what they're saying. And Mark addressed the reason why, because the gun can be used in self-defense, and most of the time is.
I would also claim that it's you're going to have a heck of a time convincing me sarin gas is not a threat against innocent people, because how do you use it and only kill aggressors? I suppose you could fill a building up with it or something that's full of bad guys, but it gets when you're talking about weapons of mass destruction, biological weapons, for instance, wouldn't you agree that it would be an aggression for, say, the Center for Disease Control to begin working on a new, more virulent strain of the bubonic plague?
I really don't think so. I think that you need to have an intent to aggress in order to aggress. And if just owning a nuclear weapon is not, you're not intending to aggress, and you cannot aggress without trying to.
I agree with you there, Johnny Ray, but you could certainly say it's negligence and that it couldn't possibly benefit anyone by doing those
research. If you think
that
you're going to do something with something and there's not going to be a mistake at some point, you're aggressively stupid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're crazy. So I'd love to talk to you about it a bit more, though.
Thank you, Stefan, for the call. The toll-free number tonight is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733, or Skype in, like Stefan did, at Skype username lrn.fm.
North to Port is a Liberty-inspired fiction podcast about a band on tour. Each episode chronicles the band's adventures in the form of a radio interview at a tour stop location. Listen as North to Port explores Liberty themes in friendly ways, with humor and music. To listen to the podcast and the accompanying album, please visit northtoport.com. That's NORTHTOPORT.com. Or just search North to Port in your favorite podcatcher.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Join us right here and bring up anything you want to discuss. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype, so you can Skype into the show here at username lrn.fm. Still to come, economics in one lesson. A little bit more from Willie Nelson after his comments to Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, about his war on drugs. But also do want to let you know about MyPillow. It's a great pillow. I use it. Mark, you have the MyPillow.
Yep.
It's fantastic. You can get yours with code FTL. You get 50% off, 50% off by using code FTL, like Free Talk Live, at MyPillow.com. It's designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position, and it's washable. You can put it in the washer and the dryer. It's a great product, and they stand behind it in a couple different ways. One, with a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you can, if for whatever reason you don't like it, you can send it back to them, and they'll give you your purchase price back. And if you keep it, well, then you can feel good because it's guaranteed to last you for a decade. So go to MyPillow.com and use code FTL for that 50% off. As we go to your calls and thoughts here, we can talk. I know you guys wanted to talk a little more about aggressive weapons, so we can come back to that too. Jim is on the line, however, listening in Missouri to KWTO in Springfield. Hey, Jim.
Good evening.
Welcome.
I was kind of aroused by your introductory talk about Sessions and his new war on drugs.
Yes.
Of course, we lost the war on drugs, and every new battle ends in failure. Mm. And it's time to take another look at what's going on in the rest of the world and how things are really being handled in a much better way in other countries, particularly Switzerland. They set up free heroin clinics, counseled the people who came in, you know, made sure that they got normal doses and not just whatever they could find on the street.
Right.
You know, the drug deals went down. They haven't had an opium overdose in over 20 years.
Wow.
And it just makes so much more sense. But no, we got to. Each new guy thinks he's tougher than the last guy, and he's going to make the war better and win it.
Just fight it harder.
Yeah.
Put more people in prison.
The basic cause of addiction isn't the dealer. It's people feeling isolated and alone and looking for something. And they need medical help, not criminalization.
You're absolutely right. And Johnny, I think you were talking during one of the breaks about a study on some rats. Tell us about that here in a moment. And also, I want to recommend, you mentioned Switzerland, Jim. Are you aware of the experiment with full drug decriminalization over in Portugal?
Very much so, yeah.
Yes, so that's another one that anybody...
You know, they followed up after that. These people, the reason that it's so hard for these other countries to break away is because of pressure from the U.S. And Portugal and Switzerland says, go to hell, U.S., we're going to do it the right way.
And as a result, in Portugal, after about 15 years, I believe, of total decriminalization, meaning that there's no penalty whatsoever for personal possession of personal amounts of any drug at all. And that has resulted in a dramatic drop in the number of addicts in that country because the drug addicts are no longer afraid of going to get help. They're not worried that the doctor's going to turn them in or have to turn them into the police. They'll face criminal charges or, you know, whatever. They can actually go and get the assistance that they need, and it has helped big time. And you know, far fewer people are addicted. Far fewer people are dying. You know, it's all of the things that the war on drugs people supposedly want to accomplish being accomplished in the completely, you know, reverse approach, which is to say to allow people to make choices for themselves and, you know, suffer the consequences just for those choices, not have jail and a ruined life from, you know, being abused by the system thrown on top of all of it.
Now, I just wish every politician in America could read Chasing the Scream. It's a book that goes into where the drug laws originated and exactly what's going on around the world with everything all the way. And the gal that wrote it went into it with an open mind, and in the end concluded that, you know, the war just doesn't work.
Great call, Jim. I appreciate hearing from you tonight. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Yep, the toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom.
The only people that think the war on drugs is a good idea are the people who get paid by it.
For sure.
Right. I mean, there are people who speak out of ignorance and haven't looked at the issue thoroughly. You know, maybe they've got a bias of some sort, and, you know, that's what they're going to argue. But it just doesn't work, and it certainly isn't worth the money dumped into it.
I mean, any cursory investigation would reveal to anybody with an open mind that it doesn't work. Now, Johnny Ray, let's talk about that rat park. If you recall that story, you'd mentioned it during the break. You weren't real sure what it was called. Did you look it up? Was it called Rat Park? Was that?
Yes. I had heard about it a few years ago, and then I heard about it recently in an interview with the author of Chasing the Scream. So some of these Free Talk Live listeners and I have similar tastes in podcasting.
Okay.
Possibly, or books. But in the 60s, experimental psychologists used rats in what are called Skinner boxes to test the effects of drug addiction. And a Skinner box is an unwholesome place to live a life as a lab rat. It's you're boxed in with sheet metal on all sides except for the door that opens to put your food in, mm-hmm. and so forth. And you've got no socialization. You're all alone in a dark hole, 24 hours a day, basically. And they rigged up some of these Skinner boxes to allow the rats to administer drugs to themselves. They tried all manner of drugs, from heroin to cocaine, what have you. And they found that the more when the rat sort of discovered what the drug was and what it did to him, his or her use of the drug went up and up. And
is when the rat was alone in the box?
Right. And then some years after, recently, maybe 2009, 2005, somewhere around there, some experimenters built a rat park where loads of rats lived, males and females together, and it was full of rat races and toys and cans to hide
in. So like a paradise, like a rat paradise.
Yes. And the drugs were still available to them, and the rats vastly preferred a water and a normal diet over the drug-laced water.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, because they had they had other things to live for in their life, and they didn't need to escape from the hell that they were in.
That is so interesting that, you know, that same thing that afflicts humans, because that's a big reason why people use drugs.
Desperation,
bad circumstances,
boredom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, bad circumstances. They want to need some kind of escape.
Escapism, for sure. And the Dr. Carl Hart Jr. study of the folks in the hospital that were getting the option to take real, like, nice doses of methamphetamine and pure crack cocaine, they refused to choose that option when given the choice of having a $20 per day reward at the end of this 3-week-long study. They could either get one or the other. They could get a $20 credit to when they get out of the hospital, or they could get right then and there, every day, a fresh crack rock of cocaine. And when it was only $5 reward, they were more likely to choose the crack cocaine. But when it was a $20 reward at the end per day, they would not choose the crack and the meth, and they would say, I'll take the money at the end of the study. And at the end of the study, they hadn't done any crack. So same thing. And these were people who'd come from very poor urban areas where they felt defeated, nothing to live for. These were drug addicts. These were not, like, you know, normal folks. These were drug addicts who they brought into the study. So the exact same things, basically the human version of the rat study, or a very similar one. Let's go to Bill. He's listening in Reno. Bill, are you listening to us on the radio there in Reno?
I am, 99.1 FM Talk.
Excellent. I heard we were going to be getting back on KBZZ. Just didn't know that it had happened yet. I know you want to comment on the drug scene, so if you want to stand by, Bill, we're going to come right back to you, okay?
Absolutely.
We're coming up here in moments, and welcome to our new listeners there. Former affiliate, back on with us in Reno, KBZZ.
Sweet.
One of the few progressive talk stations left in the nation. We're glad to be back on. You can join us here toll-free. We're live here on Sunday, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything by dialing in toll-free here on this live Sunday edition of the program. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733, and you may Skype in as well. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Mark.
Don't forget, you can help support Free Talk Live by becoming an amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. If you like the fact that we are heard on over 160 great radio stations, both progressive and conservative talk stations carry Free Talk Live across the United States. If you like the fact that we're heard, you know, online, if you like the fact that we've got people around the world listening on the internet to the ideas of liberty and around the country on the radio, and you want to help support what we're doing, then please join the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com. We had a great outpouring of support this week after I sent out a letter last week to our supporters and email lists and mentioned on the air that the AMP program was down a bit. We actually had so many come in, I haven't had a chance to get through them all this weekend, so I don't know how much more we gain, but we definitely gained this week. So like a lot of weeks we'll lose a little bit because we'll, you know, gain two new ampers, but we'll lose three, that kind of thing. So we're slowly attritioning amplifiers over the years. This was definitely a big gain week as far as new signups were concerned. So welcome back to people who were re-signing up. Welcome to those who are brand new. And if you're waiting for the official email from me, I'm sorry. I'm still working on processing them. I had to go and see Johnny Ray on stage today. He was in Romeo and Juliet, and it was a 3-hour long play.
Patience perforce with willful color meeting makes my flesh tremble in their different greeting. I will withdraw, but this intrusion shall, now seeming sweet, convert to bitterest gall.
You were Tybalt in the play, and it was great. So anyway, I apologize. I had a little bit of fun over at Johnny Ray's engagement today, and I'll get back to work soon. But so thanks to all the people who went to amp.freetalklive.com. And if you were thinking about it, we could still use your help. But let's go back to Bill in Reno, listening on former affiliate, back on board with Free Talk Live, KBZZ there in Reno. Welcome, Bill. What's on your mind tonight?
Yes, sorry, gentlemen. I said the wrong words. I am on the Dark Matters Radio Network over online, so I apologize.
Oh. Okay.
The thing I was going to mention was that with the scourge of opioid and heavy anxiety disorder medication or anxiety medication, marijuana is very helpful for a lot of people in those situations. And I just wanted to mention that.
Is that something you've had personal experience with, Bill?
Yes, sir. Yeah, definitely. 13 spine surgeries.
Whoa.
And, and took opioids for a long time, always chasing pain. And I'm healthier off of them. And with a lot of pain, you generally have a lot of anxiety, severe anxiety, and surgery. So I was on both. And you know, cannabis really helps people in those situations, for sure.
Well, that's what I you know, it's always interesting to hear people's personal stories about how cannabis has profoundly impacted their life, mm-hmm. and their medical treatments.
As far as anxiety goes, I've heard people with anxiety say things to the effect of, it just makes me bananas, because some marijuana can make you paranoid. And
sativa.
Yeah, so I've heard, you know, it's certainly done that to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's different. I mean, so all people are different in how they react to treatments like this. And as you pointed out, Bill, there's different types of marijuana. And in the black market, of course, you generally don't know what you're getting. But in the legal marketplace, in the medicinal marketplace, you absolutely know exactly what strain you're getting. And if you find one that works for you, you know which one you can go back to time and time again, unlike the black market, where it's just a crapshoot as far as what the, you know, black market dealer is going to have available.
Yeah.
Bill, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. And I guess, you know, even though he wasn't listening to KBZZ, we are going to be back on in Reno is what I hear. Normally, I don't like to spill the beans on a radio station that hasn't yet technically signed the agreement with us. But it seems like the gears are in motion there.
Yeah, you've been doing this long enough. You probably know which ones work and which ones don't. And some of them have we've been on for years sometimes before they've signed an agreement. Not really. No? Weren't those stations?
There were. That happened once or twice in the past.
That's some.
I guess that's some. But, yeah, I mean, some could sound like larger than what it is.
Okay, I think it happened on two separate occasions.
And it was the same company on
same
those
major
occasions.
Owner
yeah.
That is facing bankruptcy. But
one of them was on with us for so long without an agreement that they actually changed formats before we ever got the agreement. So we never got to count the FM station that we were on in Des Moines.
Yeah,
the whole time. The whole time we were on there. Big 40,000 watt FM
talk
station.
Did they never call
station.
In or it must have been a
We had some callers from that station. Yeah, we just don't say we don't say what station it is generally if we don't officially have an agreement
That's
with
the
them.
One thing that you get out of that a station gets out of a contract.
No. You would also, if you're a radio station who signs with Free Talk Live, you would also get support.
Meaning
if you want to take, if you're running a radio station and you don't want to sign an agreement, we're not going to send lawyers after you. So, you know, by all means, but we're also not going to spend time, you know, cutting what they call liners in the business, which is where, like, when you come back in from a break, you'll sometimes hear, let's say, you know, Rush Limbaugh or some other host on the station. They'll have them playing for like 10 seconds before our show segment starts, or it'll be our voice saying, hey, welcome back to Free Talk Live. You know, so stations sometimes want to have that kind of customization for their shows that they have on, or they'll have us do liners for other shows. So where we'll promote our show in the middle of Rush Limbaugh, right? So if Rush Limbaugh is coming back from his break, they've got maybe some music that plays, and then it's me saying, hey, listen to Free Talk Live tonight at whatever time the station has us on. So if they don't sign an agreement, I'm not going to spend my time on the station like that. Anyway, you can call us up here. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. We're live here on Sunday, the Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. So we were talking about this rat park that you had mentioned, Johnny Ray, where they did a study years ago, and then they did another variant on it more recently that showed that rats, when isolated in a Skinner box, were very depressed. They were likely to self-medicate with heroin tinged water or heroin dosed water. They had the choice between just a regular bottle of water and then the heroin water, and they would choose the heroin water constantly, and just getting high constantly.
In the Skinner boxes, in the article that I was reading by Bruce Alexander, who I believe was one of the researchers with Rat Park, mm-hmm. who had also grown up working with the Skinner boxes on the addiction tests. He said that the Skinner boxes had the rat was tethered, had his foot tethered to a lever that would inject him with a syringe, actually.
Whoa.
Instead, yeah, it was more involved than, as I had first heard it, just water.
Wow.
Yeah, but they...
That's crazy.
Yeah, but they would, they the loneliness was too much, so they had to do something to escape.
And so, again, not very different from what many humans use drugs to do, which is to escape their everyday, to escape the grind and the toil of their life, the frustrating circumstances that they find themselves in. And then, of course, the war on drugs only makes that worse. You've got somebody who's in a depressed state. You've got somebody who is using drugs addictively. They're feeding some sort of hole inside themselves. And trying to fill that with the drugs and those experiences, it never ultimately does. So they're always seeking more. They always got to get high again and, you know, running and chasing after that. And then in that process, they encounter a police officer. And that police officer searches their car, searches their person, does a stop and frisk if they're in some of the big cities out there. Maybe the search was legal or illegal. It doesn't matter. They're going to ruin that person's life even worse. Because not only can they get drugs in prison anyway, so it's not like that's going to necessarily solve their drug addiction problem.
Well, having been in prison, I can say that I didn't see a lot of drugs that weren't marijuana passing mm-hmm. through. So to keep an addiction going would likely be pretty difficult. And even the marijuana was extraordinarily expensive, times street price.
That was back in the old days, Mark. You don't know how they're doing it today.
Well, one would presume they got
drones now.
Their security has gotten better, so I would say that you probably aren't seeing...
I've still seen stories about guards getting busted here and there.
Sure, sure.
For smuggling.
I believe that there's probably just as many drugs as there were 20 years ago. I'm just saying that, you know, they do increase security over time, and likely that's gotten better. That doesn't mean that there's fewer drugs.
Did you get Captain America comic books baked into a cake for you?
I did not. there was very little comic stuff
No cakes
in prison,
either, huh?
Yeah. They serve cake
in
now
the prison.
Yeah, yeah. But they made it in
Nobody
the
Nobody could bring you a nail
kitchen.
File through.
No, that's not happening.
855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Hour 2 is coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy. Fees are low and transactions are confirmed instantly. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Help people take control over their financial future today. Find out more at dash.org.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial toll free. Bring up anything that you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Mark.
Coming up, we got the latest chapter as we've been going through chapter by chapter of the book Economics in One Lesson. It's about more price controls. And, of course, we'll take your calls and thoughts. Let's go to the phones, to the phone, to Skype, actually, where David is on the line in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Johnny Ray, and Mark.
Yeah, you're hitting all my memories today. I lived in Switzerland. My cousin of mine, Ernest Orlando Lawrence, Lawrence Livermore Labs, was instrumental in creating the atomic bomb. He was at Los Alamos and Oak Ridge. And I had a 10-minute conversation with Willie Nelson one time. That was pretty cool.
Huh.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. I actually, because I knew he would enjoy the story, I crashed his VIP receiving line after a concert one time. I climbed the fence and dodged the security guard to get in and went through his VIP line. And then I told him all about it because I knew he would think it was cool. Anyway.
Yeah. Good story.
Fun memories. What I called about was just to give people an example of what happens in this country. Tomorrow is my son. He's got my name, David, as well. My son David's 13th birthday, and the last birthday that I shared with him was when he was 3.
Oh, geez. That's a tough decade.
And that goes for his sister as well, Paisley. Here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And that's all that has all happened. We're talking, you know, I like to say that the law every case is almost the same. It comes down to a wrongful taking, whether it's your money, your life, your freedom, your house, or your children. Mm. And in this case, this all stems from, there is a court proceeding that's still ongoing for 10 years. This has been going and they haven't resolved any more than what they did in the first, the initial 6 months or whatever, when they should have resolved everything. We are no farther along. Zero. Wow. No progress, even though we've been continuously in court for 10 years. And once again, like I said, the initial separation was over insinuations, not allegations, insinuations. And when I petitioned the court to put me on trial, bring these witnesses in, put me on trial, go ahead, do whatever you want, they wouldn't do it. So,
the decision had already been made, right? They made the decision to take the kids, and that was that.
They made the illegal decision to separate me from my children, and they never have reunited me with my children, even though, like I said, they did it illegally without due process, without admissible evidence.
That's what they do best.
And when I saw them doing that illegal process, I called them on the carpet in the form of both in the courtroom, I told the judge, and through filing, I was my own attorney at that point, and through filing motions saying, put me on trial. And the judge, you would think a judge would love that opportunity when somebody that they're insinuating against wants to be tried, and then they completely ignore you because they know they're what they've done is illegal.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's how things work in this wonderful state of New Mexico, and Fortunately, New Mexico is not the only state that does things like this.
Oh, yeah.
But
there's fathers' rights movements all across the United States, and I'm sorry to hear about this sad decade anniversary there. Thank you for the call, David. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Stories like that that, you know, made me want to get a vasectomy at age 22 or 23.
It's I mean, it's sad what happens to, in many cases, fathers. I'm certain mothers feel the same way.
And there's two sides to every story, obviously, or three sides, right? Their side, the other side, and the truth.
Right. And the kids get their side and all that. It's
ugly.
It isn't pretty.
So toll-free
number
here.
It really seems wrong to ask for money from a guy and then not allow him to see his kids.
I tend to agree with that.
Now, I mean, I'm not saying every circumstance. I suppose that there's, you know, there's probably some percentage of the population that should have to pay for their children and shouldn't get to see them. Hmm. But I would think that that percentage should be remarkably small. And I hear the complaint far too often.
And it should have some sort of, as he was pointing out, due process. You know, if somebody wants to have a full-on trial, if they're going to take their kids away or take their ability to see their kids away, it doesn't seem like an unreasonable thing to ask to be able to, well, let's see what the evidence is. Let's actually hear this out in a court under oath rather than in, what is it, where they go back to the judge, I guess in camera is one way to do it.
In chambers?
No. In chambers, but there's also another.
Push the bench?
No, there's another term where you go to a judge without the other party's awareness or ability to be there, and it's one of those legalese terms that I'm sure people are shouting right now at their radio. And
oh yeah,
I'm spacing on it. Let's go to Sarah. She's in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, you know, I just want to mention that I gave like 30. Red light camera speeches at the city council meeting. Yes, I have. About before we had the vote, so about up to 5 years.
So if we go and pull up the Albuquerque City Council videos, because I'm presuming Albuquerque has online archived videos of their council meetings. I mean, if Little Keene, New Hampshire has it, I'm guessing a bigger city like Albuquerque should. So what you're saying is we can actually pull up your speeches that you gave to the city council?
Well, I mean, before 5 years. I mean, I was at it.
Oh, so it's been a while.
10 years ago. Yeah, I mean, when Mayor Chavez, he was the red light camera mayor. He was going to keep it no matter what. I was at it at that time. So we had 20 red light cameras in Albuquerque city limits at one time, like 12 years ago. But he was going to keep them no matter what. And I think are you with me?
Right here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I think it was a tipping point for him. That's why he got voted out and we winded up with Mayor Barry. Because what Mayor Barry promised was that I'm going to do a thorough study on the red light cameras. And that was the promise. But when he got in, he stuck it to the voters.
And the voters said, get rid of this crap.
But you know what? The thing is, it was a false campaign promise. Because he never said, I'm going to take them out.
That's what politicians do. They lie to people. You understand that,
right? Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So you can't believe anything politicians say. In this case, he did, you know, a good thing, which was to at least let people decide on this issue of red light cameras. I realize that you believe that these things are just, you know, the most wonderful invention ever, but, you know, the reality is they actually end up hurting people, and that's the reason why, not just, you know, the fact that it increases accidents at the red lights, but it also hurts people in the wallet because it hurts them, you know, by fining them for not actually putting anyone in necessarily in any danger. If you turn right on a red, you're not generally going to put anyone in danger for doing that. I understand blowing through an intersection during a red light is a pretty dangerous thing to do. That's going to likely get you a T-boning. But if you're just turning right on
red. A lot of people
are
getting these $50 tickets, and to them, the $50 is worth less than they're spending the day going to court and that sort of thing.
Hey, Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE-LIKE-FREEDOM. It's ex parte communication, Mark. That's what I was trying to think of the term where you go to a judge. It frequently happens in custody cases where one party will go to the judge and say, you know, judge, the other party, they're abusive and they're doing these terrible things and I need an ex parte order right now because this is very important. You know, this is happening now. It's urgent. I need this now. And the judge will frequently go ahead and write that order. Now, that's usually contingent upon a full hearing, but they'll go ahead and issue an ex parte order, having heard zero from the other party in the case. So that's what I was thinking about.
Got it.
So they hold a full hearing later to hear from the other party, and then they re-look at the issue at that point. But at that point, you know, the kids are gone. They've been taken, and that can be very frustrating. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Coming up, price fixing in Economics in One Lesson. We'll dig into that, and this is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us right here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. Coming up, Economics in One Lesson. We've been going through chapter by chapter in this epic book by Henry Hazlitt from back in the 1940s, but with, you know, timeless economic concepts that are just as important now as they've ever been. We're going to share more on price fixing coming up here in moments with you tonight. It's Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Mark.
And we're going to go back to your calls and thoughts here. Of course, you can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up anything that's on your mind. And I know, Mark, you wanted to talk about vaccinations. I've also got Venezuela news about what it's like to be elderly in Venezuela, and I think that's going to tie in to our price fixing conversation pretty good. So that's all on the way here, but let's go to the phones first. Matthew is in Brooklyn watching us on YouTube at cam.freetalklive.com. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Welcome, sir. You're on the air.
Hey, so, you know, I have some questions for you guys.
Okay.
But I'd like to give you a little context so that you're not in the dark, you know what I mean?
Okay, sure.
So I'm a Brooklyn guy. Okay, I came from Brooklyn, and my whole life I grew up Catholic, and I met a girl, and you know, long story short, I converted to Islam recently, and
assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, and you know, there's a lot of things in Islam that people don't really understand, and you know, so I was wondering, and since you guys were talking about liberty, I was wondering, you know, what's your thoughts on, because I had just recently gotten through the Quran. I read the whole thing from front to back, and I was surprised to find that Muhammad's wife, he married a 9-year-old girl, and he had sex with her when she was 9 years old. Now, I didn't know this when I converted to Islam, but after I read that, I got sick to my stomach, and I just don't know what I should do anymore. I think I might actually go back to Catholicism.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy it that you're actually a Muslim, but let's just go ahead and take that at its face value.
So it's my understanding that we're not entirely sure that this occurred, like that the young lady was taken as a wife, but that doesn't mean that necessarily sex occurred. But if we were to presume that it did occur, then you could sort of look at historically. Sex with children wasn't particularly that unusual. I mean, it certainly happened in Rome, and Greece is known for sort of, you know, man-boy relationships, and as a including Alexander the Great, and I believe. Oh, I probably shouldn't say for sure. I think it's Plato, but I'm not entirely sure. Aristotle, maybe. I don't know. So, you know, there you go. I mean, that's a way to look at it. It's certainly distasteful by our standards.
Let's look at also some other points, and that is that historians don't necessarily agree on how old this young lady
that's true too.
Actually
yeah.
was. And don't forget, how old was Mary when she got knocked up with Jesus?
I've heard numbers as low as 13.
Yeah,
that means God had sex with a 13-year-old.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that deserves some look, and I'm sure I can pull up some details on that.
Could you help me with that? Because I'm confused. You know, I don't know what. That's why I called in.
Yeah, I understand why you called in. And I don't know if I believe that you converted to Islam, because when I gave you the traditional call out, you answered it in a,
like, hey, yeah,
an untraditional way.
Well, I just recently converted, so you know, I'm not a guru. I don't know everything.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not actually a member of the I'm not a Muslim personally,
I just want to ask you one more question, you know. Because you guys seem like smart guys, you know. I've been watching your show for a couple weeks now, and I'm a first-time caller. So, you know, in Islam, you know, we don't really like the Jewish people. And I'm going to ask you a question. I was wondering.
I've never met a Muslim that said they didn't like Jewish people. But go ahead.
Yeah, this is why I don't believe. I think you're full of it.
I think this is absolutely crank the call. But go ahead.
I was just wondering, why is it that the Jewish people are so just greedy and slimy.
Yeah, so you're obviously a just a crank call. Thank you for the call tonight. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I mean, look, I'm not a Muslim, but I've done some level of study. This guy claims he's read the entire Quran. I highly doubt that that's true. If I were more familiar with the book, I'm sure I could have asked him some questions about it. I've read it myself, but only once, and that was 6 years ago. I did read it cover to cover while I was in jail for civil disobedience, where there was another Muslim who was in the jail block with me, and we did some studying together of the book and, you know, about Muhammad and so on and so forth. And, you know, so I know something, right? And I know enough to say that when you greet someone who is of that religion, you say, Assalamu alaikum, and the traditional response is, Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah.
Not to say assalamu alaikum back. So that was my first indicator that this guy wasn't for real, and turns out that was right. Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Let's see, though, what we can get as far as a more scholarly response to the question about the wife or one of the wives of Muhammad, because that is something that's come up before, and it is something that a lot of people concern themselves with about Muhammad. But I think, Mark, your answer was fine enough, but let's see what the scholars have to say. We'll get into that coming up here in moments. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. And if we have to, we'll see if we can dig up a real Muslim to answer some of this stuff, because Will Coley is normally, you know, willing and able to talk about this stuff with us.
If people, you know, I mean, people want to call in about it, that's one thing. But the thing is that, you know, like, I don't want to get mired in answering religious questions or anything like that. I mean, the internet will give you an answer on this question. And there is one belief that Muhammad's wife was young and that he had sex with her. But we don't know for sure. I mean, people speculate, I'm looking here right now, that Mary was around 12 or 13. That makes her darn young. You know, I don't know what's going on here, but that of all the indictments, of all the things that you can say about religions, who cares about this particular issue? You're talking about, these millions of people have died for these silly Abrahamic religions, and you care about what Muhammad did 1,500 years ago? Yeah. Like, that's your argument? Okay. These are ancient people's interpretation of God. Okay. Fine. They've got an interpretation. Big deal.
According to Muslim.org and a exhaustive article about this particular subject, I'm not going to speak out of turn here. I'll get into that coming up here in moments. But let's just say that there's a lot of conflicting evidence on this. Let's go to Joe.
Well, I would try to obfuscate that, too, if it was true.
He's in Iowa. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello. Yes. I'm actually, my family is from Al-Qarid.
Okay.
My family's from Al-Qarid, and recently I was actually in Edgeville. It's a small town, and I've come across a lot of what that previous caller has been, you know, kind of saying.
You've come across a lot of, like, anger and hatred? Hang on, Joe. We'll let you make your point here in a moment. More coming up here. 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves here. Bring up whatever's on your mind. And you can also call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Skype username is lrn.fm. In studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Mark.
Still to come, Economics in One Lesson is on the way here tonight. Phones are kind of blowing up. A lot of people obviously are concerned about Islam. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of hatred. A lot of it is based on misinformation. A lot of it is based on just out-and-out lies and bigotry. And we can continue that discussion as well. Our toll-free number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Also, do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, private, and easy. Fees are low, and transactions are fast. And they can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. Go to Dash.org and find out why. So before we go back to the calls here, I do want to mention from Muslim.org, there's a lot of evidence based on dates and various different reports about Muslim or about Muhammad and his one of his wives, the very young Aisha, that some say that she was at least 14 years old at the time. And then toward the end,
she's older than Mary.
So then at the end of the article, and again, there's all kinds of citations in here that I'm not going to go into. I'm just jumping down to the end here. They also suggest that she may have been as old as 19 at the time. And the article's author concludes, based on the evidence that is cited, that she was 19 when she joined the Holy Prophet as his wife in the year 2 AH, the Nikah or betrothal having taken place 5 years previously. So there's a lot of detail in the story. I'll link to it on our Facebook and Twitter, and you can get into that. But then they go on to talk about, as we pointed out, that the Bible also has some very young young females being wed and betrothed to very old men. Let's see, David, apparently King David, quote, when he was old and well advanced in years, he could not keep warm even when they put the covers over him. So his servant said to him, "Let us look for a young virgin to attend the king and take care of him. She can lie beside him so that our Lord the king may keep warm." They searched throughout Israel for a beautiful girl and then found one and brought her to
him. How hard could it be? I mean, you'd think right there in the old palatial city there'd be one.
there's a story which obviously has to do with a sexual encounter. And then Mary and Joseph, who Mary was apparently 12 years old when the temple elders decided to find a husband for her. I just came back from Romeo and Juliet, where the main character, Juliet, is 14, and there's statements in the play that many girls younger than her were being married off. So she was considered an older girl for being married off,
right,
that time. That was in the 1400s, was it, Johnny Ray?
I don't know.
In Italy?
Yeah, it was when Italy was at its peak. We have today, and I'm not saying that I tend to think waiting to have sex until you're 17, 18, 19, 20 is probably a better idea as far as your mental health and physical health go. But at the same time, people have to be able to make decisions. We send people to jail today for having sex with what is factually a biological adult.
You're talking about like statutory rape laws.
Statutory rape laws.
Males at age 20 will go to prison for having sex with a 16-year-old in some states.
Right, in some states. I mean, you know, we claim that young people at the ages of, you know, 15 or 14 can't make these decisions, but they have historically made those decisions quite often.
I just wanted to throw out that information there since somebody brought it up. Let's go back to Joe. He's in Iowa. Watching us on YouTube.
Right.
Go ahead, Joe. What's what's on your mind?
Right. Yeah. Aisha, by the way, is the name.
Aisha.
I will forgive you for playing that bacon ad right after I called in.
Oh, I don't even know what that was.
Yeah, I heard it.
No, is it understandable for sure?
Gotcha.
But yeah, like I was saying, my family is from Al-Kharid, and we moved to a small town. By the name of Edgeville, I remember as a young boy, I was practicing archery down in the basement area there, and someone actually PK'd me.
What's
while
that
I was
mean?
Down there, I don't know if you're familiar. Basically, it means he killed me and he took all my gold.
Kill. Is a PK right. A party kill?
Like a live action role playing game?
Yeah. He player killed me and. It's just he took 40,000 gold, which is not a whole lot, but it let me.
So you were playing a video
let me
game.
Just say,
you were playing a video
right,
game.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Right, and he was he's saying a lot of bad things about Islam and how my culture is very bad. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but previous to that, about a month ago, I got 5 million GP stolen from me in this video game. I feel like this is a lot of oppression for me, personally, because most of the messages I get after that are very, they're definitely not very nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, as somebody who's played online video games, and thank you for the call, Joe, it was funny. somebody who's played online video, see, that was a good troll call, that was entertaining. Some of these online games, you know, you're dealing with some very rude people because they're anonymous, right? This is the anonymity of
the
internet.
They're also 15-year-old boys.
A lot of them are, yeah.
I mean,
that's
come
true.
On, of course or
they're 30 and they never really grew up. They're still in their mom's basement, which was what he was alluding to there. But, yeah, when people have the anonymity factor on their side, they tend to say things that they wouldn't normally say in public. Face to face.
Well, you can find out to some extent what people are really thinking, to some extent, not.
And it's a lot of times ugly.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to defend Islam. I simply want to defend the truth. So I don't precisely I think that there's all kinds of great critiques.
There's a lot of lies about Islam, though.
Against Islam and, frankly, Christianity and all these other religions.
Sure.
These aren't things that I want to defend.
A critique is one thing, but an out-and-out lie is another thing. And a critique is an opinion, right? Like, you've got an opinion about what these people believe. If what you're representing is the truth about what they believe and your honest opinion about it, that's valid. But if you're misrepresenting what they believe and then you have an opinion about that misrepresentation, that's, you know, invalid from the word go.
Right. And I'd also say that there's a lot of stupid, dangerous people who are Muslims and a lot of stupid, dangerous people who are Christians.
Absolutely.
And a lot of stupid, dangerous people who are none of those things.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, if these I just of the things there are to fight about in the world, religion just seems like a crappy one, but it's often the go-to.
No doubt about it. Let's continue with your calls and thoughts. Sharon is on the line in Springfield, Missouri, listening to KWTO. Hey, Sharon.
Hi.
Hey, you're on the air.
Yes. The reason for my call, I've been having a lot of problems. It's been going on for years. I started out where I told my daughter I might do missionary work, but I didn't know yet for sure. And this was back in the early 90s. She said, "You what?" She said, "You're not going to." She went to her pastor and told him. And then later on, I was homeless. And she said she found a place for me to stay. It was a shelter for women. I don't know what kind of a place it was. But anyway, I stayed there. I was attacked demonically. I was molested.
Hold on. You were attacked demonically?
Demonically, spiritually. Sure, that place was demonic.
A demonic place for women. I want to hear more about this. Hang on, Sharon, in moments here. Okay. The toll-free number, because the demon believers always have the craziest stuff to say here, so this ought to be interesting. 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. I'm not crazy. It's the demons. They're the ones doing all this.
Oh,
it's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Just dial in toll free here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. Tonight in studio, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Mark.
All right, so we're going to continue here with your calls and thoughts. Certainly welcome about whatever's on your mind. Also, Mark, can you give our listeners an update on the orphanage that is being built right now in Jinja, Uganda, that you've been helping and our listeners have been helping raise money for?
Yeah, we're coming along nicely. There's a lot of – I've got some great updates. We're coming along nicely. The walls are sort of to a first-story height at this point. It is going to be a two-story building. It's just they got the bricks, right? They made the bricks. They're all – clay bricks and baked and that sort of thing. So the bricks were free. The mortar certainly costs money, as does the rebar, but they found it, as far as space wise, it just made a lot more sense to go two stories. And there's 40 orphans that are currently sleeping in a room probably about the size of this studio, basically head to toe in the dark with no power currently. So they need a bit more space so that these kids can have, I don't know, beds. Right? Can you imagine these kids having beds and then being able to go to school in the morning because they weren't, you know, somebody wasn't constantly. What if you get in the back of the room? You got to go pee.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Step over all these kids.
I mean, I've been in a prison cell with designed for two with four, and that was pretty tight conditions. Yeah. You're talking about 10 times worse than that.
Right. And this, so the at this point, the walls are up to the first story level. We're still going to the second story level, putting the walls in. We still need to get money for concrete, mortar, and rebar. And then we're going to have to go to roofing and that sort of thing. Obviously, there's be plumbing and electric after that. We're doing quite well. And I'm delighted to announce that not only when you donate over at hope.freetalklive.com through the myriad of options that are available there, will your donation be matched by Virgil Vaduva of Cell 411, but it'll also be matched by Anthony DiOrio of decentral.ca and the creators
Jax,
the Jax wallet. So
cool.
Get this. You donate $10, it becomes 30. Thanks for the people who have donated.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's huge. It's really great. So we're essentially, I only have to raise a third of the money now, and we're going to have this orphanage built. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be awesome. And my goal is that these people are going to have a place to sleep, and then they can build a life for themselves. You got to have a starting point. And that's all I'm hoping for. I'm not looking to, you know, support everybody for ad infinitum here. They want to put together a garden, get some hens and some rabbits, and then they'll be in good shape. And those don't cost much.
So go to hope.freetalklive.com to help out with that. Let's go back to Sharon. She had just begun telling us, you're calling from Springfield, listening to KWTO. Sharon, you told us that you'd gone to a women's shelter of some sort. But there was, you believe there were demons present, and you had just begun telling us that. Go ahead.
No, I said I was attacked demonically.
Okay.
The guy is into witchcraft there.
Which guy?
And he took and molested me.
Oh, dear.
If it hadn't been for the Lord waking me up in the middle of the night, I wouldn't have even known it. And he has done a lot of other women like that there, too.
Jeez.
But because I told him that on him, he's doing everything he can to try and have me put in an asylum.
My goodness. Now, you're saying there's a man who's running the women's shelter and that he's allegedly...
His name is, I don't know if he owns it or what, but it's in Lafayette, Indiana. The name of it is Trinity Missions. It's on Kassoo Street. His name
allegedly
is Dan.
We don't know if any of those things are true, so we don't need to give out any names So, I mean, what happened, did you go to the police?
I let them know when I was here. I lived there. And I let him know what's going on. He came here at my church, was trying to cause me trouble. I told my pastor ahead of time what was going on, that what I was going through. And after I told my pastor everything, I think it was about 2 weeks after that, he came at my church trying to cause trouble. I tried to fill out papers, it's called a parte, for a restraining order against him.
An ex parte.
You know, I didn't know his last name, and I couldn't get that when I was staying there at the time. The judge threw it out. Well, where I'm at right now. Yeah, listen, I'm, as God is my witness, I'm telling you the truth, mister. This is no picnic what I've been through.
I'm not saying that I don't mean to laugh at your circumstance. I was laughing at the fact that you know, you have this man who is ostensibly molesting you, but the government can't do anything because they don't have his last name. You know, that's the end of that case.
A restraining order against him.
Would it have been that hard to discover the name of the man who runs the women's shelter?
No, they would. They would not give it out. His sister Heather wouldn't give it out. They've told some things on. He's trying to judge me on my sins.
And is it common for men to run women's shelters?
Yeah, it seems really
seems
odd.
Unusual to me.
I don't know.
How long ago was
there.
This?
Oh, my gosh. You're talking about 96 or 97. This was years ago.
Now, do you believe that he's still there?
Yeah.
Do you believe that? Well, okay, if he's still there, it wouldn't be hard, I wouldn't think, to discern this man's name. I mean, if he hasn't gone on the run and isn't, you know, hiding, it would just seem to be a matter of asking around. You know?
No, he works there at the place, and I can't find out what his last name is.
Yeah, I don't think you're trying very hard,
there,
honestly.
Yes, I did. They would not, his assistants would not give out his last name. She said they're not allowed to because there's other women trying to find out.
You can just follow him home if you want and then, you know, find his address and do a reverse address lookup. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. You can hire a private investigator. There's all kinds of ways to find out information about people. But, you know, at this point, what good's it going to do? You've got 20 years now since those things allegedly happened to you. He's probably beyond the statute of limitations, and you have no evidence.
He's been here. He was at my church trying to cause trouble.
What, 20 years ago?
With him. No, I mean now, just recently.
So he's still got it in for you? You think he's still like...
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he's trying to have me put away.
Now, do you believe...
I'm telling you the truth.
Okay.
Well, what does he claim that you need to be put away for?
He said that I
demons.
Have a mental problem, and it's a lie, sir. They've got...
How do you know you don't have the demons?
I mean, people that have mental problems generally don't know they have mental problems, right?
Listen, I don't have none. He calls me. He accused me of having a mental problem.
I'll take
this happened... Listen.
I'll take your word for it.
They have been... Medicare insurance, they have a guy that somebody took and signed me up illegally saying that I couldn't make decisions for myself, which is a lie.
Yeah, that's a frustrating thing. There's laws in every state. Thanks for the call tonight, Sharon. Good luck with your case. But it is frustrating, the involuntary commitment statutes. I mean, I understand why they exist, and there's definitely a strong argument that something like that should exist because at a certain point, human beings cannot take care of themselves if they've gone too crazy. Like, you know, there are crazy people who can take care of themselves, and then there are crazy people
like
who
all of us
who are a danger to other human beings and a danger to themselves. And so that's why the involuntary commitment statutes exist. But there's no doubt that these things are abused all the time by, you know, whether it be family members or loved ones who are close to somebody that decide they don't like that person and want to cause difficulty for them. They can certainly use those statutes to do that.
Yeah, it's a very difficult conundrum that people don't spend much time thinking about. But exactly when can one not consent to any variety of activities? I mean, I would say most of the world probably is bad money managers, right? But does that mean that they can't manage their own money? Are we going to take that away from them? That's what the government did when it created Social Security,
right?
It basically said you can't handle saving for your old age, and you know the evidence is that a good percentage of the population cannot handle that.
But of course, the government can't handle it either. They spend the money; they don't actually save it. Right. So they just tax.
Oh yeah,
the money comes from current taxes of Social Security payers.
Right. So we are going to take care of you, which means that they're going to take the money, put it in the general fund, spend it whenever they want, and then when you know, presuming they're still around, and every government that has existed historically has at some point or another failed. Right? I mean, except for the ones that are currently here, but there aren't that many. I think the U.S. has the oldest governing document in the world, making it the oldest government, which is only 230 years. So for a government to claim we're going to be here and we're going to take care of you into your old age, well, there's
hopefully they die of old age soon. Yeah. The U.S. government as a concept. Hopefully the state dies a decrepit, painful death. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. I don't wish pain on the individuals, but just the idea of the state. I hope it goes away sometime in our lifetime. The Free State Project has reached its goal of 20,000 liberty lovers who've pledged to move to New Hampshire and get active to achieve liberty in our lifetime. Perhaps you're trying to figure out what part of New Hampshire should be your destination. If so, consider Keene. You'll find more than 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com. Keene is famous for its historic, publicity-generating activism, as well as being the liberty media capital of the world. It's home to freekeene.com, New Hampshire's destination for liberty activism, news, and opinion. For years, we've been compiling over 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com, where you'll learn about some of what's happening here and what makes Keene a great place to live. If you love liberty, you'll probably enjoy anywhere you end up in the Shire. But do your due diligence first. Please visit move.freekeene.com for the full list of over 150 reasons to move to Keene. That's move.freekeene.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of this live Sunday edition of the program. You can bring up anything you want. Economics in one lesson, if we get a chance, but the phones are blowing up. There's maybe room for you if you get on the lines right now at 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Skype username is lrn.fm. With you tonight, it's Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Mark.
Let's go back to the phones, back to the fun. We'll start out with Michael, listening in Boston online. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey,
I have a question only for the man who has spoken. He's wearing a blue shirt. He's got a beard.
Well, he's spoken, but
it's Johnny Ray.
Not
he's,
as much.
He's a very quiet, thoughtful man, and when he speaks, it's always worth listening to.
I'm scared now.
Hey, Johnny Ray. Hey, I was wondering, are you reading the comment section in the YouTube?
No, I am
not. Oh, God. I can only imagine. What are they saying?
Well, they're calling him a dirty kike.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
I know, it's not nice at all.
Yeah, in fact, our board operator just dropped that
true.
One, so you you probably
apparently that racial slur isn't allowed on the air, so we're gonna have to let you
is
go.
Is it true, Mister?
I'm gonna get rid of him.
It's still building, and if he decides to do it again,
well, he only dropped half the dump, so
okay.
Usually get to you can drop twice basically, but anyway.
But should I tell them whether or not I'm Jewish? Should I tell the YouTubers?
I kind of think it's irrelevant.
Well, and I can tell you, you're
don't
not
think
dirty.
It's true, do you?
You seem to be very clean to me. I mean, you're a janitor by trade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am dirty. But am I the K word? Maybe so, maybe not.
You look clean to me, Johnny Ray.
Tune in next week.
Johnny Ray reveals his ethnicity.
If the listeners could smell me, they would know how dirty I am.
So far, the crank callers tonight are one for two? There's been one decent one and two not so good.
I mean, if you're going to do prank calls, and you know, prank calls are fine here on Free Talk Live.
Yeah.
Curse words. We've got a dump button. This is a professional radio program, people. We have the technology to dump what you say.
Maybe they're just really excited that the dozens of internet listeners that we have live were able to hear what they're saying.
I said a racial slur on the radio. It's not funny. So yeah. Be funny. Be interesting. Be compelling.
Or get dumped.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the phones here. Dana is on the line in Michigan listening to WTKG. Hello, Dana.
Hi. Okay, guys, I'm going to do this from an academic standpoint, because if you talk to a Muslim, this is about the Islam issue, because I actually studied in this, and this was my specialty in college. Okay, so I have found probably just as many sources to say that Muhammad's last and favorite, it was his last favorite and youngest wife, was 9 years old.
Yeah, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but there is a lot of evidence that that's not the case. But regardless,
it could be.
It could be true. Yeah.
Okay. So the sources I found, the ones that you guys were referring to, were if they were done by academics, I did find things that said she was a teenager, but they were from Muslim sources. And so I discounted those immediately, because if you can't show a picture of Muhammad without death and torture and then death, then you're surely not going to say anything against him. And because in today's society, saying that taking a child bride is kind of sick, it's not acceptable in today's society, although things were done differently back then.
That's what they do out in the, I mean, you're right, overall it's not acceptable, but it's certainly still practiced in the fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ. It's certainly still practiced in the fundamentalist Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Church. So, I mean, that happens.
I understand that, but we're not talking about that. What I'm saying is the Muslim sources are going to do things to only glorify their prophet. Okay, so the other half that I found said she was 6 years old, but he did not have sexual relations with her until she was 9. So I think that's where that 9 keeps popping up, because I found good, solid sources that say she was 6.
But it said the betrothal lasted for 5 years. So if it was 5 years, then they were betrothed when she was 6.
It depends where you look.
Right.
It depends.
Right. That's the difficulty here. And I understand why you would be taking outside sources, Dana, but do you take outside sources when you discuss Christianity? Do you take only outside sources?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do. I don't just do Christian sources, because I'm more interested in not only the truth, but the truth, it means historical accuracy. Now, nobody can actually say for sure, but when you've got, and I don't trust all historians either, because politics has infested every single walk of life. You can't, you can hardly get the truth out of anything. So I'm telling you, this is years and years of research. Okay, that being said, let me share some other things with you. One of you guys, and I think it was Mark, and I hope not, because I'll be gravely disappointed. Not that I would be not disappointed in the other two, but you said that God, you said two things that really pissed me off. God had sex with Mary, and also it was said she was knocked up. Mary was not knocked up. Jesus Christ was conceived through the Holy Spirit.
Well, the Holy Spirit.
Is that what they're calling it now?
But the Holy Spirit's God, right?
Even can I finish? Even Muslims accept the virgin birth. That means that she was a virgin when she had not only conceived Christ, but Muslims, just like Christians, believe that when he was born, she was still a virgin. And that was conceived through the Holy Spirit. And if you guys believe in God, even if you don't, if the belief is that that God is all-knowing and all-powerful, God can do anything. And it was the Father that sent the Son, but it was the Holy Spirit that he was conceived. There was no sex going on.
We didn't say there was sex going on.
Well, okay, so I should have said that God impregnated Mary when she was 11?
Knocked up is slang that means impregnate.
Knocked up is, in this case, it's more than slang. It's actually blasphemy, even against
the
virgin.
I don't mind that at all. Frankly, I'm all for blasphemy, especially blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because I want to prove as best I can that that book is just nonsense. I mean,
I got to tell you guys, the best reads that you'll ever have, and I've talked to some of these guys on national radio programs, is you get these scientists who were, and most scientists to this day are atheists. There is a group of agnostics, and you can probably count on 10 fingers and toes how many are Christians. But the best read you guys will have for proof against the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Birth, any of this, is read these scientists who were atheists who set out, their sole purpose was to disprove God's existence. And they ended up, some are on the road to become Christians, some became Christians, and some are saying, well, I'm still not a Christian, or maybe not on the fence of it yet, but there is no explanation for the intricacies of the human brain and our workings to justify that a higher power was not involved in the creation of
humanity. You can't prove that God doesn't exist. That's right, impossible.
Well, I wouldn't even try, Dana. I'm a believer in God. I just don't believe in the Bible, and those are two different things. I mean,
well,
the Bible is just another
book. Actually, let me propose this to you, Mark. If you believe in God, and you believe that, you know, all that comes with God, that he's all-knowing, all-powerful, the Alpha, the Omega, always was and always will be.
I'm not entirely
then
sure on that.
Why is it so hard? And this is the question I ask, and I'm not doing this to trick you, like trying to be this religious, you know, holy roller and try to trick you and get you on my side. I'm doing air quotes. But this isn't about sides.
What's the question?
About the truth. So if you believe that, then how hard is it to believe that the Holy Spirit could put Jesus inside the womb of Mary?
Thank you for the call tonight.
I didn't claim the Holy Spirit didn't do that.
That's exactly what you said. That
I said that the Holy Spirit impregnated
Mary knocked up
at 11.
Knocked up is slang that means to impregnate.
Right. So
it doesn't necessarily. I mean, obviously,
any indictment against Muhammad should be made against the Holy Spirit if this is the case.
Yeah. Toll free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You may dial in toll free. You can bring up anything you want. Live Sunday edition of the show. You can take control of the airwaves at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. Tonight with you, it's Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Mark.
Also, you can, of course, bring up anything. I do want to let you know about Bitcoin.com. They are of the opinion that the current Bitcoin Core development team is not taking satisfactory steps to ensure the growth and advancement of Bitcoin in accordance with Satoshi's vision. As community efforts to resolve these problems have failed, it's necessary to resolve them with a different approach. By using subreddit r/BTC instead of r/Bitcoin and running Bitcoin Unlimited, you're casting a vote against the current development team. You can learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com. As we go back to the phones, to the fun, let's talk to David. He's in France, watching us on YouTube at cam.freetalklive.com. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, so first of all, I want to react about the 3 points you made a little bit earlier. But first, imagine my shock when you compare Aisha, the wife of the prophet, to Romeo and Juliet. Because Romeo and Juliet is just a play, it's not reality, and Islam is a religion that billions of people around the world following.
So are you saying that Romeo and Juliet wasn't based off of the prevailing norms at the time, that being that young females were being married off and having children at ages, you know, as young as 12, 13, 14 years old?
Yes, but it's still a play by Shakespeare. It's not like the same thing that a religious book. It's not the same thing, basically. And Aisha,
well, we didn't say
mine.
It was the same
was
thing. We didn't compare it in a way that suggested it was the same thing. We were comparing that, you know, they have a different, in different time frames in human history, people have different beliefs as far as what's acceptable regarding marriage and consummating marriages.
Age of consent and those sorts of things.
So, if I'm following your point, you basically saying if it was 1,000 years ago normal to have sex with a 5-year-old girl, you don't see anything wrong about that?
We didn't say that there was nothing wrong with it. We didn't say that at all.
What you,
I thought it was first off, I don't know that that happened. That sounds like an exaggeration. I have conflicting facts here, right? Like, on one hand, people say this happened. On the other hand, people say this didn't happen. And then what I asked is this the most important, the most prescient, and the most crushing critique of Islam you can come up with? Is it?
Yes, but you can't compare basically Mohammed with a prophet and basically a human being as God, because God in Christianity is some entity, is like divine, you know. It's not the same thing. It's not comparable because it's like a human.
Oh, now he's saying that you can't compare what Muhammad did to God knocking up Mary. That's what you're saying.
Are you saying it's acceptable to knock up an 11-year-old to have your savior?
Mary was not 11. She was 15. If you look at the Bible and the loop.
All I'm doing is reading the internet, 15. Man.
Well, most of the sources I've seen said she was 12. But again, this is the same thing that the Muslims are running into.
That's what you're doing right now. You're saying, no, she wasn't 11. She was 15. No, but if
which, of course, 15, by the way, many people today, David, I'm going to put you on hold for a moment here. Many people today, if you said she was 15, would say, that's a horrible crime. She can't consent.
I can also do math. That means that she had sex, that the Holy Spirit impregnated her.
At 14.
At 14, okay?
Yeah.
So...
Now, many people would say that would make the Holy Spirit a pedophile, which, of course, is an inaccurate term, but that's what they would say. They would threaten to string him up.
Well, if Mary's a virgin, then the Holy Spirit didn't have sex with her.
No one said that the Holy Spirit did.
Fine. There wasn't a galactic god penis, but she became pregnant. So I should use the term impregnation.
Right.
And that happens every other time.
And there's nothing unwholesome about that. Because there's no, fleshy members involved.
Right. It's okay as long as there's not a fleshy member.
David, go ahead.
Okay, so my second point was when basically Mark said a little bit early that because it was a long time ago, it was not really important and basically nothing matters because it was a long time ago. You said that, Mark.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. It's like it has become irrelevant to me.
Okay, do you think it should be the same thing for all historical stuff, like slavery, the Holocaust, and all that stuff, or just religious stuff?
I think that it is that way. I'm not saying it should be that way. I think that it is that way. The Mongols killed far more people than the Nazis did. But we can think
absolutely. I agree on that.
Right. So there you go. I mean, that's the reality. Is the Mongols were far more horrid. Genghis Khan was far more horrid than Hitler was. But whatever.
Yeah, Genghis Khan was actually out there raping and pillaging and
like doing the actual raping and pillaging himself.
Hitler was like shut up in some sort of place where no one could get to him. Right? Didn't he end up taking his own life at the
very end? I agree on what you're saying, Mark. But do you see the Mongol blaming the Chinese or the Chinese blaming the Mongol? No, because actually nowadays on the current societies, it as example black people asking reparation for white people, or you have the Jewish people asking reparation for Germany, and it's basically the two only genocide or crimes against humanity, or the way you want to call it, that only the two events in the world basically asking for reparation. We don't do that in Europe. We don't do that in any other event. The Armenian with the genocide, no one talk about that. You see what I mean?
Well, the Armenians still too talk about the genocide. They want to make sure that the Turks take responsibility for it.
But do they talk about reparations?
I think reparations are an extraordinarily problematic conversation because everybody can look at their history and say, these people did this to me and that sort of thing. So it turns out I'm largely Western European as far as ethnicity goes. Should I be able to go after the ruling classes, the people who are the descendants of ruling classes of Europe for some kind of payment because my people weren't particularly rich or forced to work on farms as serfs or whatever it was that they were forced to do. It seems absolutely ridiculous. It's slavery. Serfdom is a form of slavery. I'm sure that some of my ancestors came across as indentured servants, and indentured servants historically were treated pretty bad in the United States. What about that? Okay, so I've got some Ethiopian Jew in my lineage. I'm sure that that makes me partially black. Do I have to pay? It's all very bizarre when you start talking about reparations. I think it's just too muddy.
Yeah, I agree with you totally on that, and that's why basically I'm saying it's like no one should, like you said, ask for reparation, and we should go forward and not backward. Do you agree with me on that?
I'm with you on that one, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, David, for your call tonight.
People should face consequences for their actions, not who they
directly,
are,
directly.
What they do.
But if those people who made those actions are dead now, then you can't make that right anymore.
No, that's not their actions.
Yep.
You should have to pay for every slave you've enslaved, Johnny.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live continues. You can join us here on the radio.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, join us right here on the radio. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's me, Ian.
Me, Johnny Ray.
And me, Mark.
And we've got Skype, so Skype on in here at username lrn.fm. And if you've got online shopping to take care of, you can get it taken care of fast by going to shop.freetalklive.com. You enter Amazon through the links you'll find there. There's Amazon US, Amazon Canada, Amazon UK. You just click on the right Amazon for you and get your shopping taken care of. And Free Talk Live will benefit. There was the one rare occasion that I actually used Amazon directly this last week.
Uh-huh.
Normally I use saveitpurse.com because I've got Bitcoin and I would like to spend that and save like 20%. That's how I get almost everything through Amazon, but every now and then, maybe like once a year, there'll be some reason why I'll go through shop.freetalklive.com where, I can't spend my Bitcoin. And the only reason I would do that is if I can't get a better deal. And it's very rare that that happens, but they had something called a lightning deal on Amazon recently, and I broke a pair of headphones that I needed to replace, like the in-ear ones, not the big ones that you see us on with the cameras here, so the in-ear buds. So anyway, I snapped the connector off of one of those. I'm like, all right, I need to get another pair of headphones. Went and looked them up. I was getting ready to put the URL into saveitpurse.com so I could save 20%, and the lightning deal thing was like a limited time window. Was like, if you order now within the next hour, you get it at 70% off or something like that. So there would have been no, I tried to put that on a wish list, and it just doesn't work that way with the lightning deal. So in that case, I did go ahead and go through, shop.freetalklive.com, just went through the regular Amazon buying experience. And so it was like the first time in quite a while that I hadn't used saveitpurse.com. So if you've got Bitcoin, you've got cryptocurrency, and you want to save big time on Amazon purchases, go to SaveItPurse, saveatpurse.com, and do that through them. You'll save big time. There's, I just did that actually with a weed whacker. The old weed whacker that I had here is, it's done for. It's broken after, more than a decade of
You use a gas service. One?
It's gas, yeah.
It's a gas one that you're using.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not anymore because it's broken. But So I went online to go and look at options, and I found an affordable, I'm going to try a battery-operated one just because, see how that works. And it was cheap through Amazon, but even cheaper through saveitpurse.com. I saved 20%. On that. So why not? Why not do that? SaveATPurse.com. If you don't have cryptocurrency, then just go to shop.freetalklive.com. as we go to your phone calls and thoughts here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. We go to Shia on the line in Pennsylvania, watching on YouTube at cam.freetalklive.com. Hello, Shia. Hello.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, hello? What's on your mind?
Hey, I had a little lag on my TV between you guys and YouTube.
That's all right.
But, hello?
Here you are. You're on the air.
Am I on?
You are on the radio.
I was just playing with my fidget spinner. I was zoning out there for a minute. I was on hold for a while, so I think we got a little off topic. But I was getting kind of triggered about you guys talking about defending pedophilia in any form.
And who was defending that?
It sounded like you guys were defending Muhammad for marrying marrying that wife of his.
I don't think you were listening very closely. What we were saying
was pretty close.
No, I don't think you were, because what we were saying was that people disagree on the age at which Muhammad's young wife was. Some people say she was as young as 9. Others say she was as young as 19. And there's, you know, historical evidence to back up a lot of those claims. And then what Mark had said was that times were different then, even if she was, you know, pretty young, times were different then. That's not defending the act. That's just saying that in, you know, a different time, people looked at things differently. Do you think that's not true?
Well, I'm also saying, people disagree on whether the Holocaust happened. Does that mean it didn't happen either?
Well, I think there's
a lot of evidence saying that the Holocaust didn't happen. I've read some of it.
Oh, so you're one of those?
Well, okay, I've read something that's convincing.
I'm just reiterating your point that you just made.
No,
that's not what we mean. Look, it's not our point.
It's much more difficult to ascertain what occurred 1,500 years ago than it is to ascertain what occurred 70 years ago. There's photographic information about the Holocaust. There is none about this Muhammad and Aisha characters.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't exactly have cameras back then. But
I know! That's the point I'm trying to make!
Right. To say that we don't know something isn't to defend what happened. You understand that, right?
I don't know.
Okay,
I mean,
well,
do you
I'm
really
sorry
know
you
know
don't
the
understand.
Were you there when the Holocaust happened?
Were you there when Muhammad had a wife?
I don't know. I could have been in a past life.
Thank you for the call tonight. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. As we continue, we go to...
Apparently, if I don't toe the particular line of some of these people on Muhammad, then I am endorsing it. I think those religions are dumb, yeah. All right? That's my statement.
This ought to be a good call. Someone calling themselves Asian, calling from Philadelphia, also watching on YouTube. You're on Free Talk Live.
Huh? No, you got my name wrong.
Oh, okay. What's your name?
It's Aslan, like the lion.
Can you spell that?
It's the
A-S-L-A-N.
Yeah, the character from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, okay.
It was a parable of Jesus, basically.
Gotcha.
Well, it means lion. Is Chechen name?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. You know what? I didn't look close enough here. The letter was the letter L looked like an I to me from the distance here. So apologize about that. Go ahead, Aslan.
Okay, you were talking Islam. I was born in Chechnya, and I was Muslim most of my life, but I went away from church. Now I can't go back. I have family in Grozny, and I can't go back because I probably would be killed.
Okay.
And this is very serious.
I believe you.
But you say you were in jail and you read Quran?
I did, yeah.
And you read front to back and you believe this?
No. Just because you read a book doesn't mean you believe it.
But it sounds to me like you were defending.
I will defend when people tell, you know, possible lies about something. I will, if I know something to be different, if I know something to be contrary to what the claim is being made, I will state the contrary claim. I don't know what the truth is about what happened back then because I wasn't there.
If somebody called into this show and said that Jesus had sex with a 9-year-old and it said so in the Bible, I would say that that was an inaccurate statement because I have read the Bible all the way through multiple times.
Well, the Quran, I don't think talks about, I don't recall. I mean, it's been 6 years or whatever, but I don't think that was addressed in the Quran.
I'm just saying that.
That's the reason why I'm calling, because I've studied Quran my whole life, and it does say that Muhammad took Aisha, his wife, at a very young age.
Uh-huh. Well, there's all kinds of different evidence about there at the age at which she was taken as his wife, and some people say it was as old as 19, and I linked to an article with mountains of citations in it, and anybody who really wants to delve into all of these allegations about how old his wife was certainly can spend all kinds of time doing that.
But it's not going to change.
I tell you, I grew up in Muslim culture. I learned this from a very young age, and she was 9 lunar years old.
Okay.
Is what we learn.
Well, thank you for your opinion, but obviously people within that culture have different opinions. Okay. Well, that's your opinion, and there are other people who are in that culture who have different opinions. Thank you for the call tonight, Aslan. I appreciate it. Lots of people really harping on this particular issue here tonight as though they know something.
Very important to them.
Yeah, as though they know something about what happened in the past.
I just keep on hearkening back that these things happened historically. I'm not saying I like it. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying that
acknowledging that
you know,
it happened.
It doesn't run my life. I don't care very much.
I don't base my opinion about a religion because of what one of its adherents or its originator might have done at some point in the past.
Yeah, I mean, so Alexander the Great was buggered by philosophers. Okay. King Leonidas was probably the most courageous and deadly gay man the world's ever seen. Okay. He probably had sex with people who were below the age of 10, too. Boys below the age of 10.
855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. Moments remain here, but maybe enough time for you if you get on the line now at 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. The Free Talk Live AMP program, great way to get behind the show for $5 a month and help us get Free Talk Live on the radio in more markets. We've got another station coming on board soon. I can't say where that is, but I'm excited, as always, to bring new listeners, to expose them to the ideas of freedom. The ideas of peace and liberty is what we talk about on a nightly basis here on Free Talk Live. They're important ideas, and I'm glad that we have the opportunity to bring it to over 160 great radio stations around the country. We could have, a couple hundred more. It's possible, but we do need to have money with which to market Free Talk Live, and we're going to bring some change to the AMP program within the next few weeks. I've been unable to get to the video editing that I've been wanting to do over the last several days, so be patient with me. I've got a lot on my plate here, but when I get to it, we're going to roll out some changes to the Free Talk Live AMP program and the LRN satellite channels, and we'll talk more about that in the future. But meanwhile, you can go to amp.freetalklive.com, and you can get signed up there. As a number of people did this week, thank you to everybody who has done that. And as I said earlier, I'm still getting caught up on those processing through those signups, because even though we have an automated system on the website, I always like to just kind of oversee things and send out thank you notes and things like that. So you go to amp.freetalklive.com. You'll get perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only podcast, and more. You go to amp.freetalklive.com, credit card, PayPal, and we take Bitcoin at amp.freetalklive.com. To the phones, to your calls and thoughts. Scott is on the line in Massachusetts listening to WBNW in the Boston Concord, Mass area. Go ahead, Scott.
Good evening. I haven't heard you in a long time. You may remember me as Scott the Bigot.
It is you! People
yes,
have been.
It is. I've been living under the grid, and I was away from. But you didn't forget me. I hope.
No. In fact, people have been asking about you for years. What happened to Scott the Bigot?
Yeah.
I saw Scott in Massachusetts on the call screening software, and I said to you, Mark, what did I say to you during the break?
Well, you said you're going to him first.
And I said this could be him. I said this could be Scott.
Well, I haven't changed, gentlemen, and I want to let you know. I know you got limited time.
Here, I want to let you know this before you go on. The phone that you're on right now, it doesn't sound that great. Can you maybe back away from it from like 2 inches?
Yes. Yeah. All
okay.
right.
Okay, that's better. Now, the last time we talked to you, I think it was darn close to the last time we talked to you. Your mother came on the line And for listeners that don't know, this is Scott the Bigot. He is a longtime caller, former caller of the show, called pretty regularly off and on for a few years. And then, like you said, you just disappeared. Did it have anything to do with your mother catching you on the line and chewing you out on the air?
I got tired of radio. But now that Trump's in office, it's right my time again. And America's in deplorable condition. I don't know where to begin. I'll just say that we have a Zionist-occupied government. If people wondering what's going on
same
in America...
Same old talking points.
Mm-hmm. And they don't understand. Yes, but it's true. It hasn't changed.
So wait, are you saying that... Hold on. So first of all, what is a Zionist? And are you saying that Donald Trump is a Zionist?
No. I'm saying that America, he can't stop it himself. America's essentially what I mean is America's controlled by the Jews. When I mean by the Jews, they control Wall Street, they control Hollywood.
Do they control Donald Trump?
Yes. Any president would be controlled by the Jews because, again, we have a Zionist occupied government, meaning that, and it's proven true with Charles Schumer and Adam Schiff and Dianne Feinstein, especially George Soros. George Soros is the evil ringleader, the puppet master, if you will. And he's behind all of this. For people that aren't familiar with George Soros, he made billions manipulating the currency of Great Britain. Vladimir Putin threw him out of Russia because he was trying to manipulate their currency. And most recently, he got Ann Coulter thrown out of Berkeley because Bill Ayers is his Gentile front, meaning Bill Ayers works for George Soros. And George Soros is an international Jewish banker, and also he is also a fifth columnist, a communist. So I want to leave you callers with a thought. America's in the state it's in because of three forces that it's working against it. International Jewish finance, international Jewish communism, and international Jewish Zionism. Those are the three forces that are working against America. And America is doomed.
It doesn't seem like
the
Zionists are very powerful. I mean, they only have a tiny little country down there. What's the big deal?
This is the big deal. Israel is a clearinghouse, an international clearinghouse for the Rothschilds, for all Jewish activity in the world. And there are very small numbers, you said.
What are they
but
clearing?
Tremendous. You need to understand, you need to read the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which will explain. I need hours to explain it. But to answer your question, it's called the Jewish question. The Jewish question means, how do the Jews have such power? How did they get there? What do they do there?
Now, you've missed out recently, Scott. We've had a bunch of calls tonight from some similarly bigoted people, but unlike them, I'm actually like relieved to hear from you, because at the very least, you know, you don't say the F word or, you know, some other words that we would have to dump on the air as we have with some of these other callers tonight. So I want to, even though you know, I still find your viewpoint to be despicable and detestable, I still want to welcome you back to Free Talk
Thank
Live.
You.
I am glad to hear from
Opinions
you again.
Opinions are welcome no matter how abhorrent.
Yeah, absolutely. So and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to call back, because I know a lot of our listeners did miss you.
I have to laugh because I thought I was forgotten.
No, not at all. Who could forget? Scott the Bigot. I mean, there's some classic.
You're a dedicated caller, that's
yeah,
for
there,
sure.
Well, there's some classic callers to Free Talk Live that I think will always be remembered, including, remember Paula, who was in the trailer park years ago?
Who was the master sergeant that would call in and from the junkyard?
Oh, yeah, that was a long
Walt.
Time ago. Walt from Kansas City. So there's some of them that are really memorable characters, all the way back to Sanjay from our local days when we were on in Sarasota, the fake call from the guy who was running a Quickie Mart kind of thing, really, you know, great accent. And of course, the big question about Scott the Bigot has been, is he for real? That's always been one of the big questions among our listeners, is Scott actually who he, you know, portends to be, or is this all a big put on?
No, it's not.
I've always believed you're for real. I've always believed that about you.
I look at America. I know you have limited time. I look at America, and I hate what I see.
Here's what I want you to do. Do you have the internet?
I don't use a computer.
You don't use a computer. How do you?
No, I don't
how
want
do you
one.
Live. How do you? What do you do?
Oh, I function very well.
Okay. So I want to know if you can call on a different phone is the reason I'm asking, because the one that you're on, even though you've backed away from it, it's still kind of cruddy, and it's going to get – if you call back on that same phone, maybe you could use your mom's extension. Are you still at mom's house?
I knew you were going to say that. No. My mom's not feeling very well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pick on on her.
No, I know. I know what you think. I live in a cellar with a tinfoil hat.
No, I didn't think you wore a tinfoil hat. We do have listeners.
I can assure you, gentlemen, that I have all my mental faculties. I'm as sane, if not more sane. If anything is insane, it's our world is insane. Our world is one giant nut house. This country is one giant nut house.
You're on a landline? You're not calling on a
cell phone? I'm on a landline. Regular telephone.
You don't have a cell phone.
It's a cheapy Walmart telephone.
I don't even use a cell phone. And you know why? Because when I'm out somewhere, I don't want to be bothered with anyone. I don't want to. I just want to be left alone.
I want to ask you to maybe we'll have you call the studio line or something next time. The alternate line, if you wanted to call in, maybe that would clear the lineup. It's not intolerable, but it's also not great either. Hey, Scott, good to hear from you, even though I disagree with pretty much everything that comes out of your mouth.
And I want to leave one fast thought before all your viewers, your listeners.
Give us
if they
want
to understand the craziness in America, and they do not understand, and they're desperately looking for an answer, they can find everything they're looking for in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. The Jews claim it's a forgery, but I can assure you it's absolutely authentic.
Thank you for the call, Scott. It's sort of good to hear from you. I feel mostly positive about that, even though it was reprehensible. Thank you for the call. There he is. He's back. He's okay. He's still out there. Still sounds just like he did, 5 years ago or whenever the hell it was.
Do you think bringing him on just sort of represented the folks that were in the YouTube comments today?
To represent what?
Do you think bringing him on?
Yeah, it was emblematic of everything.
The culmination. Was the culmination.
They're accusing us of being Jewish in the, uh-huh. the YouTube things there, as though any of us, anybody here
now,
raised
it's
Jewish?
Confirmed. You two thirds confirmed Jewish, right? And so I assume
they
that's
said
two
thirds. I don't know which two thirds. Okay. Didn't they say you were Jewish? John
I'm not
Ray?
Disclosing my heritage until next week.
You refuse to do that till next week. I can say that I was. Raised Protestant, I did take a DNA test, and it came out that there was one Jew drop of blood in there, basically.
I knew it.
A Zionist.
I knew it! And I don't know what that means, because I don't know anything about any Zionist, whatever, don't care anything about that stuff. But, if you're really busy worrying about what somebody's religion is, you're just a nut.
All right, if you didn't get on tonight, no worries. Call tomorrow night. We're on live, as always, 7 to 10 at night Eastern Time. You can join us online in the meantime, between now and then, over at freetalklive.com. On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
Your amp will directly change more lives by getting Free Talk Live in front of people looking for talk radio online and on the air. You can help by joining the AMP program for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com and getting perks. That's amp.freetalklive.com.